Hello, I'm Jake Wilson, and welcome to the Week 13 NFL Preview Show on Al Davis Plus the Points, because the only thing better than boozing, gambling, and sports is being Al Davis. Siegs, creep to the mic like a fan.
Absolutely, Jake. My name is Brandon Sigloff, and you are listening to a free-flowing conversation that constantly touches on mature subjects.
Now, last week we had kind of a rough stretch, rough to say the least. In picking up the spread, you went 4-12, I went 6-10.
Yeah, 4-12 is atrocious, and I apologize. I hope you listened to my 55%ers for gambling and not my spread picks.
Yeah, I really don't think that many people. I mean, when you pick every game against the spread, you're gonna end up around 50%. Hopefully, if you're doing well.
Right.
I mean, I wasn't expecting to keep up my 11-5 first week record.
Right.
Overall, though, I have moved to 17-15. And I don't really have written down what you are at. Right?
Yeah, well, I went 9-7 the first week, so I am now 13-19, which is not good.
No,
it's not.
That was some good quick math out of you. I kind of put you on the spot for that.
Yeah, but I got it.
But before we go into our first game, which actually is in Canada,
right.
We would like to touch on the big Bucky win last night, Badgers beating the Duke Blue Devils.
Yeah, they did. It was a great win. I went into it, to be perfectly honest, not all that confident. I didn't think they'd be able to.
You were confident enough to say that you bet against the Badgers.
I did, although I did the bet against the Badgers more because I thought it would make me feel a little better if they lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they could keep it close because they are a different team at the Kohl Center. But they looked great, and you know it's one of those things where you just have to trust the Badgers. Like, they were picked by a lot of people to go 7th or 8th in the Big Ten this year, and with Bo Ryan as your coach, that's just not going to happen.
You know, I told you this story. When I was up at Oktoberfest, Badgers were playing, I think, Wofford,
whatever.
There,
yeah.
There's 1,500 kids at school. It's not like it matters. And there was a guy at this party that just kept bad-mouthing Brett Bielema, which, you know, I can stand for. I'm not his biggest fan, but I'm also not his biggest detractor.
Right.
And then he got on the subject of Badger basketball and started bad-mouthing Bo Ryan. And I tell you what, there are some of the things that I'm going to stand for, or I will stand against. I refuse to stand for any bad-mouthing of Bo Ryan. I don't understand how you can just sit there and shit-talk consistently one of the best 10 programs in the country.
Yeah, they're consistently good. They've been there every year. Bo is just a fantastic coach. He gets the most out of his players, and I love the guy. You know,
especially for a bunch of, you know, kind of goony white guys. It's like the typical Badger player is about 6'5 to 6'8 white and looks unathletic.
Yeah, he does recruit those guys.
Yeah,
it's
his
choice.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm agreeing. I'm
but,
just saying that's your prototypical Badger.
Yeah, player. During the opening tournament in Maui, Lauren and I, my wife Lauren, were watching the game. And they shoot to Bo Ryan. You know, he looks a little rough. And
what a stud.
Right. And Lauren says, I bet he cheats on his wife.
At this point in Badger basketball, I would argue that he deserves it. He should be able to cheat on his wife all he wants because he's that big of a stud. He looks like a guy that will tell you amazing stories at a bar.
Oh,
but then if somebody shit talks you, he's the first guy to break the bottle on the bar and put it to somebody's
throat. He'd be a ton of fun to hang out with. There's absolutely
mm-hmm.
no doubt about it. And, you know, another stud on this team, and Jake and I have been arguing about this,
mm-hmm.
I just cannot get over how good Trayvon Hughes is. He has just become a phenomenal basketball player.
And I agree that he's progressed, but you are in love with the Trayvon Hughes of now, and I'm still remembering the Trayvon Hughes of his sophomore year just clanking left and right.
He struggled young. He turned the ball over a lot. He was out
of
control.
Oh, my God. A lot would have been nice.
But
every time he touched the ball, it seems like it got somebody else's hand.
He carries his basketball team now. I mean, he's phenomenal.
I think one of the unsung heroes of this basketball team is my boy, Nankabill.
Nankabill's really stepped up. And that was, you knew they had Lure down low, who I'm not a huge Lure guy. I think he's a little soft. But, but I mean, he is.
Badger basketball.
but, well, yeah, but you usually get gritty guys like Krabnoff. But anyway, Nankerville, they really needed another big guy to step up, and I think Nankerville, he's going to be that guy.
He's only a junior, too.
Yeah, they've got him back next year, so that'll be nice.
Especially with Taylor, who looks like he's going to be an absolute stud at the guard position as well.
Jordan Taylor's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll miss Hughes and Bohannon next year, but at least you know they have someone ready to step in.
He looks like he could bench press a Volkswagen.
Right. He's got some major guns on him.
All right. Enough making out with Buckingham J. Badger. We got to get to business.
We do. And let's also mention, though, briefly, that this is our first podcast from the cell.
Oh, yeah, that's true. This is our first podcast from my apartment. There might be a slight echo on this one because I have absolutely no furniture.
That's true.
It's just a sleeping bag with a couple blankets over it on the floor in the corner, which is fantastic if you're looking to sleep on hardwood floors. There's really nothing better you can do for your back. We're sitting on a stool, and I am sitting on a giant Tupperware container, so we're casually calling this podcast... And maybe any from this location, Hell in a Cell.
This is Hell in a Cell, but it's going to be an epic battle, I think.
I couldn't agree more. And let's start this epic battle in Canada, eh? The Jets at the Bills, which Jets at Bills is kind of a loose term because they're playing in Toronto. Bills have been playing better without Dick Chiron, which I think is a common theme with Dick Chiron teams. What do you think here?
Yeah, it's a terrible Thursday night game. I don't want to spend too much time talking about it because it's boring, it's awful.
You know, the NFL Network consistently has terrible Thursday games.
Yeah, they haven't done too well. Yeah, the Bills have looked a little better, and I'm starting to hear this little murmur, ooh, maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick is a good quarterback. No.
No, he wasn't a good Patrick with the Rams. No. Or quarterback, he wasn't a good Patrick. He wasn't a good quarterback with the Rams.
He filled in for Carson Palmer last year when he was hurt. He's just not good.
Yeah.
Don't give me this Ryan Fitzpatrick BS. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, the good thing is that T.O. is actually starting to catch touchdowns, which is counter to what you would believe with T.O.'s, history.
Yeah, T.O.'s playing a lot better, but I think now that it's going to... I mean, cold Toronto night game, I think T.O.'s going to drop some balls.
Oh, well, he consistently... It leads the league in drop passes. We haven't really talked much about the Jets. It's mostly been hating on Dick Chiron, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Teal. The Jets pulled off a win last week that we didn't expect. Then again, we didn't expect a lot of things last week since we had sub 500 records. But, we both thought Miami would steamroll the Jets. Did I say the wrong team?
I don't think they played. No. The Jets beat Carolina last week.
That's it.
We both picked the Jets last week. That was one of the few picks I got right.
No, I picked Carolina.
You picked Carolina. Well, then I got the Jets last week.
I think I said Mark Sanchez was going to be busy blow-drying his chest hair on the sidelines while the Carolina run offense was going
to
run
right. Yeah, no, I picked the Jets. The Dolphins lost to the Bills. That's who the Dolphins lost to.
I was close. Oh. I even picked the Dolphins over the Bills as one of my Mikeys. How did I forget that?
Yeah, but anyway, the Jets, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever, they're a fine team. This is a weird game. The Jets are favored by 3 points. I'm going to lay the 3 and take the Jets. I don't know.
I'm going to go the Bills plus 3. I think the colder weather game, it just seems like that's Bills football. Like, whenever I imagine Buffalo Bills football, I never think of, the early games in the season. I always think of the horseshit games in December where there's snow on the field and the Bills somehow pull out a win. So I like the Bills. It's a combination of... Jets and Bills. I really gotta turn this around. My first one in the cell has been a train wreck so far.
Yeah,
so.
You're not firing on all cylinders right now.
So speaking, I've got Bills plus 3, but speaking of train wrecks and maybe teams that aren't firing on all cylinders, we got Philly at the Dirty Dirty.
Yeah, and Philly's favored by 5.5 on the road in Atlanta. I mean, this is just a cluster. No DeSean Jackson, no Brian Westbrook, no Matt Ryan, and
Michael Turner
is questionable. So
probably won't play.
This is a mess.
Yeah, and Philly played a close game against Washington last week. In fact, they were down for most of it.
Yeah, but we talked about Andy Reid's weird onside kick and all that.
Yeah, but the thing is, Atlanta won't have Matty Ice. Do you really trust Atlanta with Chris Redmond at the helm?
I don't. They obviously
and no Michael Turner probably.
Right. I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, they struggled with Tampa Bay, but, I don't think this Philly team is going to be firing on all cylinders either. I mean, I think DeSean Jackson, what do you think? I mean, no DeSean Jackson, how much does that change their pass game? Because Jackson can stretch the field deep and really gives McNabb a lot more room on the underneath routes, and now they're not really going to have that guy to stretch the field.
Yeah, but, it's kind of one of those things where when you're playing Atlanta, Tampa doesn't have that guy that stretches the field either, and they dominated three quarters of that football game. You know, it's one of those things where they don't have, essentially, their biggest weapon in Brian Westbrook, which they haven't had for a while. They don't have probably their second threat in DeSean Jackson, but yet the Eagles still kind of squeak out victories every here and there.
Yeah, they do. They seem to find a way to win, and this is it's going to be a really interesting game, I think, because both teams are missing key parts of their team, yet at the same time, this game could end up deciding which of these two teams gets into the playoffs, so it's a huge game.
And, you know, Atlanta plays extremely well at home. I think the stat I gave last week was they were 24-3 in their last 27 games at home against the NFC, but now they are 24-4 in their last 24.
Yeah, they won last.
They won. Jesus, I think we should just stop this right here and get this train wreck cleaned up.
It looked like they should have lost, but they.
Yeah, that's right. Because I want to do. I wanted to bring up the coaching decision by the Tampa Bay coach. He decided to kick a long field goal instead of making Chris Redmond drive 80 or 90 yards to beat them.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice. I actually wanted to talk a little bit about Raheem Morris when we got to Tampa Bay, but yeah, that was a questionable decision. I mean, especially, it's one thing if you have a reliable kicker, but Connor Barth has been atrocious for them all year.
Going into the Green Bay game, he was 2-for-7, but we'll say that for Tampa Bay. I meant this more as a point for Atlanta, where I don't trust Chris Redmond, but he made that, you know, he made short work of the Buccaneers when he got in there and did that.
Well, it did take that. I mean, they got down inside the 10,
and then they got
a penalty on fourth down. I mean, they really needed to get bailed out.
But, I mean, a win is a win in this situation, especially if the Falcons looking to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I don't know, it's one of those things where there were a couple tough games to pick this week, and I thought this was a tough one. I like Atlanta at home whenever they play at home, but they don't have Matty Ice and probably won't have Michael Turner. Philly also doesn't have a lot of weapons, but I think Philly actually has more weapons to start with. So I'm going to go with Philly -5.5.
Okay. I think that's a fine pick. We are going to be 0-for-2 on agreements, though, which is the thing. I'm going to take
new.
Getting 5.5 points at home, I'm going to take Atlanta. Might not be the right move, but that's what I'm going to do.
Fair enough. Another two teams that are just bad.
Yeah.
We've got St. Louis and Chicago. I would make the argument that St. Louis is the worst team in the league.
St. Louis is bad. I mean, I think it's between them and Cleveland pretty clearly. Yeah, they're real bad. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about them. As far as the Bears, you know, it's one thing I've surprisingly not heard many people mention is the loss of Brian Urlacher for the season in the first game and how bad their defense has been. Do you think that loss is underrated, or why aren't people talking about that defense not having Urlacher?
I think a lot of people aren't talking about Brian Urlacher because they have Jay Cutler. I think Cutler kind of took a lot of the spotlight when coming into the season as, hey, we've got this gunslinger, we're actually going to win some games.
Right.
And then Urlacher kind of went under the radar because of the game that happened. Cutler had 4 picks and shit one up against the Packers.
Right.
Then after that, it was kind of the let's see how bad Jay Cutler can do.
Right.
And then that kind of just snowballed into this beast where we completely forget about Urlacher. I would also say that I think Brian Urlacher is slightly overrated.
Right. And I think at the beginning of his career, he's a great player. But at this point, he's a shell of that player.
Oh, yeah. You know, the last 5 years, you know, Madden still puts Urlacher in the high, you know, 90s.
I guess, right.
As we're using Madden as the benchmark for rating players.
Madden's a pretty good benchmark.
Yeah, pretty good judge of character. But, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things where that defense was awful last year with Urlacher healthy. So it just kind of, losing him was just kind of like a, well, we were going to be bad anyway. Our defense was going to be bad anyway. What's, you know, another, you know, turd in the poop sandwich?
Yeah, I mean, their defense has been very bad, so I do agree there. And then offensively, that stat kind of blew me away. In their last 3 games, they're averaging 12 points a game offensively. I mean, that's...
Well, what do you expect? They're the worst team in the league in rushing. They've got Jay Cutler throwing the ball 20 times to the opposite team. I mean, you're not going to put points up when you do that.
Right. I mean, Cutler's doing nothing, and Forte is taking a dump on your fantasy team.
Yeah, thank you, you dick. Not you, Matt Forte. You know, I drafted you 4th overall. I was expecting at least I would say at least 5 touchdowns.
I don't think that's going too far. I think that's
fair. You know, if you get drafted in the top 5, I would say even 10.
Yeah.
5 touchdowns isn't a stretch to ask for.
I think 8's fair, even.
Yeah, I think 8 would be fair. I think it just doesn't seem like he's the same back, and it could be because the offensive line's a little different, but it also seems that they've moved to more of a pass-heavy offense.
Yeah, they're definitely throwing more than they should be. They're not balanced. I mean, you would think that would actually make his yards per carry go up, though, which is the kind of weird thing.
The thing is that Kyle Orton did a great job in Chicago because he knew his job.
Yeah.
It was hand the ball to Matt Forte and don't cough it up. On the other hand, Jay Cutler knows his role as keep it out of Matt Forte's hands and throw it to the other jersey as much as possible.
I think that's the actual coaching points that Lovey gives him.
Yeah, and, you know, he's got that little pouty face every time he overthrows a guy right into the safety's chest.
I'm pretty sure we get into the Jay Cutler bashing and face every time.
He's just such a goddamn douche. And, like, you know, Sports Guy was right. This year is his coming out party as the most hated man in the NFL.
Yeah, he's pretty disliked from what I know. But with that said, with all the bad things we've said about them, I'm going to lay the 9 points. I just think the Rams are terrible.
I'm with you. I think the fact that I think this is going to be a low-scoring game, I think this will probably be like a 14, you know, 3 win for the Bears.
I'd go more in the 21-10 range.
Okay, yeah, but we're still taking Chicago -9.
-9, yes.
And then staying in the NFC North, we've got Detroit on the road going to Cincinnati to play the Bengals.
We do, and LJ, Larry Johnson, your boy.
Why is he my boy? I hate Larry Johnson.
I know, you rip on him.
Constantly.
Yeah, that's
he hits women, he's a homophobe.
That's the joke.
We've
heard it, Jay.
I just don't want the podosphere. You know,
right.
We call it the blogosphere, so I think
right.
We can call this the podosphere.
I don't think we should.
Is it still technically the blogosphere if we blog on this as well?
I think that's probably more accurate. And podosphere just sounds awful. Well, blogosphere sounds awful,
yeah.
Too. So.
I don't want our, you know, the copious amounts of fans tuning into this to think, oh wait, this Jake Cat, he likes...
Yeah, understand.
This guy who can't run the football and hates gays.
Well,
that's
see,
not
that,
what I want.
Here's
to
the
happen.
Thing I was
going to
ask, though. With Larry Johnson, he looked so awful in Kansas City. Now he goes to a team where Cedric Benson's looked great. He looked terrible before he got there. Are the Bengals proof that, barring a special guy like a Chris Johnson, someone like that, that running backs just don't matter in the NFL? Like, it doesn't matter who it is?
You know, it's that argument we have with... I ain't going to revert this back to fantasy. But kind of the argument we have with shortstops in fantasy baseball. I mean, once you get past the top, you know, 3, it's a poo-poo platter for the next 10 to 15. Not poo-poo platter, but you're basically
right.
Getting the same shit for the next 10, 15 guys.
Right.
And I think it could be, I think it very well could be that way with running backs in the NFL. I think if you're not Adrian Peterson, Maurice Jones-Drew, or Chris Johnson, I mean, I don't really think that there's that much talent level separating... Cedric Benson from, you know, Brian Grant.
Right.
I think there's not much talent separating maybe Michael Turner from Ryan Grant.
Right. I mean, that's my point. I mean, I think running back is the most overrated position in the NFL. This is my opinion. And
mm-hmm.
I just don't think they matter that much. Like we said, a special guy, yeah, obviously. But other than that, I think so much depends on the offensive line and the play calling and the scheme. I just don't think running backs are that important. That's why I think Larry Johnson looks reinvigorated when I think he's the same guy he was in Kansas City.
Look at Amon Green. When he ran behind Wall, Rivera, Tauscher, Clifton, and Flanagan, he was putting up, you know, PlayStation numbers.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, two of those guys leave. The line kind of gets down. He leaves for, you know, the Texans in that trade, and he ends up getting cut by the Rams, what we just called the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all O-line, it's all scheme, and you know, you're probably right. And I feel bad, you know, downplaying these professional athletes saying that. Eh, they're no better than the other one.
Well, I mean, it's... You're saying no better on a
comparative.
Like,
it's
they're
like,
better than me.
Well, yeah, but it's a relative scale. It's like
right.
Alcoholism. alcohol, you know, being an alcoholic, that's all relative.
Right. Once you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
He's a bad alcoholic.
You know, yeah. It's not like, it's like, yeah, maybe, you know, my drinking compared to, you know, some just in the bars every night spending $60. I mean, but we're all alcoholics.
Right. You're all destroying families, which is nice.
You know, I just choose to do mine on a less grander scale.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. Now, speaking of alcoholics, Carson Palmer, listen to me.
I can't wait to get this letter.
No, I was listening to The Herd today, and he had Palmer on, and he struck me as just an arrogant prick.
Well, he is a USC guy, so...
Your thoughts on Carson Palmer, the arrogant prick.
I have him in our keeper league, so I don't want to badmouth him too much, because I don't want him to hear and then put up bad fantasy numbers for me. You know, it's one of those things where I didn't hear the interview, because I was listening to the Adam Carolla podcast, which is much better than ours and fantastic.
Yeah, listen to it. Why are you listening to
that? Yeah. AdamCarolla.com. There's a plug for you. Carolla, piss back.
Yeah, right?
You know, it's one of those things where I saw a couple interviews with him, like, with Ocho Cinco, and he seemed like an all right guy, but then when Ocho Cinco, he just seemed like an asshole, because Ocho Cinco gets to be one.
Right.
And it's one of those things where if he's that arrogant in that interview, it's like, hey, guy, you got one bad knee,
yeah,
and you haven't won anything yet.
I think he's a good quarterback, but I don't know. He rubbed me the wrong way today.
I think I would go as far as to say he's one of the better six, maybe, in the league. Five.
He's up there. I mean, it's a tough,
I think, talent-wise.
Right.
I mean, he's got obviously had the setback with that knee injury,
right,
and he missed some time last year. But I think decision-making-wise and like how quickly he gets the ball out of his hand, he can read the defense as good as anyone in the league. And he just puts a pretty ball in the air. That's why I would put him maybe in the top five.
Yeah, I think he's good. I think that's why Cincinnati is a contender in the AFC. But with that said, they are 13-point favorites here. And in my opinion, that's too many points. I'm going to take the Lions getting 13.
Yeah, you know, I looked at this one too, and it was one of those things, you know, as long as Detroit has Stafford and Megatron, they've got a pretty good shot. And I've got written down here, Cincinnati's been playing down to teams a lot.
Yeah, they really have.
They play Baltimore and Pittsburgh tough, but then squeak out games against, you know, the Browns.
Yeah, it was 16-7 against the Browns last week. I mean, that's pretty ugly.
Yeah, but that being said, I liked Cincinnati minus 13 here.
Oh, so weird.
I think Detroit goes in maybe the... I think Detroit is worse than Oakland and Cleveland.
Jokeland, you mean?
Jokeland and Cleveland. I put them as the second worst team in the league, even with Stafford,
I'll take them against Cleveland. They beat them fair and square.
I guess. Yeah, those bottom three. Once again, garbage is garbage. It's like, you know, people say, oh yeah, but it's good garbage.
Yeah, well, let's get away from garbage.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I've got Cincinnati minus 13.
I've got Detroit. Getting away from garbage, a game that should be really interesting. Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts.
Is this the most interesting game of the weekend, if not maybe the entire season?
It's an extremely interesting game, and I think...
I have this over Brett coming back to Lambeau as the best game of this season. Most interesting storylines of this season.
I think Brett was more interesting, but it's going to be... This is a weird game, because, I mean, I got to think the public as a whole is probably rooting for the Titans.
Oh,
and really good
as well. Betting on them, too.
Right.
You know, it's hard to bet against undefeated.
Right.
But right now, it's also hard to bet against Vince Young and Chris Johnson.
It is, but listen to this. This is something I was looking at Tennessee. By the way, Indy's 6.5-point favorites in the dome here.
Mm-hmm.
5 wins for Tennessee in a row, up to 5-6. 5 wins have come against Jacksonville, San Francisco, Buffalo, Houston, and Arizona. That is a pretty weak slate for everyone to be completely sold out in this game.
And
week.
Arizona without...
Without Warner, that's right. No Warner. So, I mean... Completely different teams. So I feel like people might be overrating them. Left on their schedule, they've got Indy, St. Louis, who's not good, then Miami, San Diego, and then at Seattle, which isn't too bad. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, considering they have to win out, I'd love to see it. I think we're giving them too much credit for these 5 straight wins.
See, I don't know. I think 5 straight wins in the National Football League is impressive any way you look at it.
Yeah.
And that being said... Indy's got 11 straight wins.
Right,
so.
And that's the thing. Like, I, it's not that I don't think they've improved and they're a good team, but all of a sudden everyone thinks they're going into Indy and beating an 11-0 team. I mean,
I think it'll be a hell of a game. I don't think this is going to be a blowout.
Right.
But I had an interesting stat here, and I don't remember if I heard it on the Herd or the BS report, but right now Chris Johnson has 3 touchdowns of 85 yards or more.
Yeah.
There is no other running back in NFL history that has more than 3. And that's just this season.
Well, yeah. No running back has more than 3 in their career.
Career.
Yeah.
And he has 3 this season.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He's so explosive. And once he breaks loose, that's it.
I remember thinking when he was coming out, going like, okay, another speed guy. That's it.
Right.
But he is, and he looks tiny. You look at him and you think like this. He's going to go into the middle of that line and just get eaten alive.
Yeah, he's up over 1,300 yards already. And I was reading an article today. When he was at about 700 a few games, like, you know, 7 games into the season or something, and 2,000 seemed impossible, he promised all his linemen he would buy them cars if he got to 2,000. So
that's legit.
He's in the 1,300, so he needs a little over 600 yards in 5 games. That's doable for Chris Johnson.
I think the formula to beat the Colts is to keep the ball out of their hands.
Yeah.
And that includes running the football, controlling the clock, and not giving it up. And Vince Young has been phenomenal at keeping the football, and Chris Johnson has been fantastic at keeping the ball in the Titans' hands.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other key is when you get it inside the red zone, you need to punch it in the end zone. You can't just collect field goals against the Colts and expect to do damage.
And that's what happened against Houston last week. They got up to that big lead, but then they couldn't keep scoring touchdowns.
Right, they started kicking field goals, and that was that.
Yeah, and so I'm going to go out on a limb here. Actually, it's not really a limb, because most of America is probably going with this. And against my better judgment, I'm taking Tennessee plus 6.5.
I'm actually with you on this one. I'm taking Tennessee plus 6.5.
Oh, your arguments made it sound like you were going to go Indy.
It did make it sound that way, but Indy's been letting teams hang around, but they find a way to pull it out in the end. And that's kind of where I see this game going. I see it being a close game, but I think Indy will win the game.
See, I'm with you, but kind of for opposite reasons. I think, I actually think Tennessee could pull this one out, but I'm kind of on the fence. I would be on the fence if it was a pick on it. I would not like this as a pick.
Right, I would take the Colts.
But I think it's going to be a well-played, close game. Not like you said, where I think Tennessee's going to keep up with them, because I think what I could see happening is Tennessee might get a quick Indy might get a quick score here with, you know, Reggie Wayne and Dallas Clark, but then that Tennessee offense is going to hold the ball for 8 minutes and score.
Yeah.
So I like Tennessee plus 6.5. Now,
should be a really interesting game either way.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, probably maybe the most interesting game of this season. Moving on to a game that I don't think will be interesting at all. And staying in the NFC, we've got Denver at Kansas City. Now, the Denver offense really came alive again against the Giants. Do you see it continuing here?
You know, I don't know. I mean, Denver is 4.5-point road favorites here, Kansas City. Their run game the last 3 games is averaging over 4.7 yards a carry. So that tells me that their offense is starting to click again. And if they can get their run game with no Sean Moreno going, I think that opens it up where Orton can make a few plays with Brandon Marshall to win them games. But I mean, let me be clear. I don't think they're putting up 30.
No. Interesting stat here. Once again, probably stolen from either the Herd or
I think this one is from the BS report.
Denver is 1-16 at Arrowhead in December. It just turned December on Tuesday, and according to the calendar, that is not good news for the Broncos.
Yeah, and that's a weird stat to me, because it's like you think back, they had Elway back in the day. You know, I don't know how many December games they played at Arrowhead, but
mm-hmm. Well, you have to assume they didn't play, you know, all of them in the last season. So yeah,
right.
It probably goes back to Elway.
So I mean, you had Elway years. I mean, Denver's a cold weather team. I mean, I guess you think about it.
And when was the last time Kansas City was really that?
Yeah, but I guess Arrowhead
in
the 90s or 2000s. That was a great crowd. So I guess that makes sense. It's just that's a weird stat to me. It surprises me.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah, like you said, especially with how good Denver's been, and you know, one of the strengths of Denver has been historically under Shanahan is running the football, and in cold weather, that's exactly what you need to do to win.
Yeah, it's a strange stat. I know I'm going to a pick already, but I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I think Denver will pull it up, but I will take Kansas City getting the points.
Yeah, I think we're going to a pick already because neither of us have anything down about this game.
This is not an interesting game.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm going Kansas City plus 4.5. Denver's offense just hasn't shown me that they can consistently put up numbers like that. I mean, they lived off their defense at 6-0 start.
Yeah.
And I think Kansas City with Matt Cassel and Jamal Charles actually have a fairly, and Chris Chambers actually have a fairly decent offense.
Yeah, I think this will be a competitive game, and I'm just not willing to lay more than a field goal either
way. Yeah, same here. So I agree, Kansas City plus 4.5.
Keeping over in the AFC here.
There are a lot of AFC games coming.
A lot of AFC here in the early batch of games. We got New England coming off that whooping from the Saints. New England is going to Miami, and they're favored by 4.5 in that Vegas zone of we don't know what the hell is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, New England has been atrocious in Miami. But the thing to point out is it's historically been against the Wildcat, which they will not have in full effect.
Right, at least not in full effect. So I
think we brought up the Ronnie Brown injury.
Yeah, we've made
about a million times.
You know,
so.
And, well, I think something big from that last Miami game, though, and this does partially relate to no Ronnie Brown, is Chad Henne looked exposed. I mean, he threw a ton of picks.
He had 3 picks in the last quarter.
I mean, against the Bills? Eesh.
The Bills are on the up and up. We talked about this.
They're not on that much of an up and up. So that was interesting to me. And then the other quarterback, Brady, watching that game on tonight, he looked rattled in the
Bills. I think it was the crowd. You know, the crowd just consistently that. I mean, you had talked about the crowd was going to be out of control on our Monday Week in Review. I kind of downplayed it, saying Tom Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, guess what? That was a oops.
Yeah, ooh, well, you know.
I still think that. But.
Yeah, so do I. But, you know, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were embarrassed against the Saints. And the last time they were embarrassed was against the Jets. And you know what happened? They came out and they beat the shit out of the Jets. So I think Tom Brady might be a little, you know, gotten, hey, we still belong here, and just try and just put up points against Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. They didn't quite put the whooping on the Jets after that Colts game that I expected them to. I mean, they did cover the 11, but it wasn't quite as big of a thrashing.
Anytime you win by, I think,
17. It was 17.
Yeah, I think anytime you win by more than 2 touchdowns, that's a pretty decisive victory.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think Brady is fully recovered, both physically and confidence-wise, from his knee?
If you would have asked me that in the first 5 games of the season, I would have said no, because it just looked like the way he was dropping back and didn't. But watching him play against New Orleans for the quarter I did, because I don't have cable.
Right.
I really don't see any discernible difference between him right now and then him 2 years ago at this point.
He didn't look confident on the sidelines, and I've never seen Tom Brady not look like he was completely put together.
I mean, anytime you have a serious injury to your leg area in a sport, which I have had.
Yeah, I have not.
And you know, you kind of, for that first while out there, you don't trust your limbs under you.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, with how many reps Brady's taken, I'm assuming he feels comfortable back there again. And once again, that's assuming. I've never had my knee bent completely backwards. It was just an ankle, but
good old Bernard Pollard. Yeah. So you think the Patriots bounce back? Do you still think they're an AFC contender?
Oof. You know, I think if you were to ask me this last Thursday, I would have said, yeah, they're right there with the Colts.
Right.
But I'm still going to say I would, only because I don't know about Cincinnati yet.
Right.
I want to see Cincinnati against a Colts, against a Patriots. And the Steelers and Ravens just don't seem like they want it bad enough to really play hard. So, you know, I still think they're one of the best 3 or 4 teams in probably the AFC. So I would say, I think it goes probably Colts, San Diego, Patriots.
Yeah, I still put the Patriots up there. I still think they're a threat in the AFC. I mean, I think they don't match up well with the Saints. But luckily for them, they don't have to worry about the Saints until maybe possibly
the Super Bowl.
Possibly
the
Super Bowl. So, yeah, I like them. I think they bounce back. And I will lay the 4.5 in Miami and take the Patriots.
I will take the Patriots as well. I like that game. Now to a game near and dear to our hearts. We've got the Oakland Al Davises at Pittsburgh. Big Ben's probably going to play, and I mean, is there any more maybe decisive evidence in last week's game that sometimes teams are just different teams without their quarterback? And I think the Steelers are one of them.
They are. I was actually impressed with the way Dennis Dixon
played really well. But I think with Big Ben at the helm, they win that game.
Yeah, I agree. I think they need Big Ben, which is why it was so interesting that Hines Ward threw him under the bus after the game, kind of questioning his toughness. Do you think there's going to be any...
Especially after a concussion.
Right. It's a weird thing for Ward to do. Do you think there's any going to be any residual impact on the field that we'll see from that?
I don't know. I think both Hines Ward and Roethlisberger are just consummate professionals to let... I mean, it's not the first time Hines Ward's opened his mouth about Ben Roethlisberger.
Right, I agree.
And they seem to be doing just fine. They did fine after that. In fact, they won a Super Bowl. So,
right.
You know, I take a player like Hines Ward, you know, you take the things that come out of his mouth with a grain of salt, because I think he's so passionate and wants to always win, that sometimes he lets things come out of his mouth that he doesn't mean.
Right, and it was heat of the moment after the game. He's, as John Madden has made clear, he's a competitor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand how you can question Big Ben's toughness. I mean, the guy's built like a brick shithouse and takes a lot of hits and gets up after.
He does, but that's why I hate watching the Steelers. He just loafs around behind. He just loafs.
He
holds onto the ball
hits
for
eight seconds.
If you held onto the ball for 9 seconds, he would take.
But that's
away.
One of the things I love about Ben Roethlisberger is that anytime somebody gets in the backfield, he always extends the play.
Right. I love it if I'm a Steelers fan, but I just hate watching them. I don't know. Something about the way they play just turns me off.
Yeah, and you know, do you think Pitts might be a little disheveled after that overtime loss?
No, I mean, we've talked about Tomlin. We both like him. I trust this team. I think they'll focus and put a run together, but I'm not sure that they're a playoff team, especially without Palomalo. I mean, we've talked about this the last few weeks.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen in recent history. I wouldn't even say the Bears this year, because like we said, they were bad last year. But one player having that big of an impact on a defense.
Yeah, I mean...
Losing one guy.
And they looked like a different team for the 2 or 3 weeks he was back.
Even
though he wasn't his full self. I mean, it's insane.
Well, in all fairness, they did lose that game to the Bengals with him back, but...
Yeah, that was a good game. But yeah, definitely.
It was a tough one. I mean, what was it end up, like 16-13 or 16-12?
Yeah, I think 16-13, something like that.
Now, as we keep playing up Pitt on the up and up, and not being disheveled, Oakland is bad. Real bad.
Oakland's real bad. That play against the Cowboys, I don't know if you saw it, it was in the first half, they tipped up a ball, and two Raiders come from different directions, and the one guy totally could have housed it, and they just run into each other, fall down, and don't pick it at all. It was just, it was a microcosm of what the Oakland Raiders are.
And there's some talk about a lot of Oakland Raiders fans are starting to really make the charge for new GM.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, they have Al Davis, who's the
greatest GM in the history of the NFL.
He's the greatest football man in mind ever to exist.
He might be the greatest human of all time.
I'm pretty sure...
Until, once again, it's like the Snickers. Until I see scientific evidence against this, Al Davis,
right,
bar none, is the greatest human being to ever live.
Maybe if you add Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, and Bill Walsh, the three Bills, maybe...
That team turns around?
Maybe they equal Al Davis as a football mind.
It would be like the perfect storm when those three storms came together to kill George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
It's the perfect storm, but with Bills.
Right, and combined, they could make a man like Al Davis.
God, I'd like to see that Bill.
Yeah. Well, his name's Al Davis.
That Bills...
Oh,
his
my
name's
God.
Al Davis.
This is...
You know, as the love affair with Al Davis continues, I'm just going to say it. I'm taking Al Davis plus the 14.5.
14.5 is too many points. I love Al Davis plus the points. And this may be a 55%er. We'll see. We'll see.
And the funny thing is, I think this is the third week we've taken Al Davis plus the points on Al Davis plus the points. I love that we're giving plugs to our blog, or our blog in our blog.
Where else are we going to get a plug?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think we're 1-1 with Al Davis.
2-1 after this week. Let's do it.
I love the way you think.
So let's move on to the team that thrashed around the Patriots. New Orleans Saints at Washington. Saints are given 9.5 on the road. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a tough game. I think the Skins are underrated, especially Jason Campbell, and especially with the way they almost handled business against Philadelphia. That was a game that they were looked at to get pretty much to, for the, it was, that game was looked at as Eagles showing their dominance in the NFC East.
Yeah.
And the Redskins were up for most of that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Washington, we've talked about this, is a little better than people think. I think part of the reason they kept up with the Eagles is because I don't think the Eagles played very well.
Yep.
But they were. But with that said, I mean, the Saints right now are clearly the best team in the NFL. We doubted them. Monday, were talking about how the Patriots are going to roll. And, you know, I just have to say to all of our New Orleans listeners, you guys were right. We got your emails. And we hear you loud and clear.
I must have missed those emails.
I deleted them.
Oh, okay, good. You know what? Kind of interesting. After that win, is New Orleans just going to go on autopilot right now to the playoffs? Just kind of go like, all right, we've shown we're the best team in the NFC by being one of the best teams in the AFC. Let's just click it on and just cruise.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to, but they need to keep winning is the thing.
Yeah.
With the Vikings on their tails, that's the one thing. They can't, if they're not careful, they'll give up home field, which for them, home. I mean, in that game, if we assume that's the NFC Championship, which it won't be because the Packers will be one of them. But if it is, home field is going to decide that game.
Mm-hmm. And, see, I wonder about that. Because, you know, the big thing is with dome teams is the crowd.
Right.
But New Orleans will be used to it.
Right, but you're not
I understand. It's
right.
It's opposite, but I'm saying is they're used to when they're used to that kind of noise level.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it will give the road team a slight level of comfort being used to the dome atmosphere. But
mm-hmm.
with that said, you send a team Minnesota into that dome. Oof.
I mean, those might be two of the toughest places to play in the NFC.
Brett Favre might throw 6 interceptions in a dome playoff game, which I know is impossible to think. But...
I know he's done it before because that's something that has ripped my heart out.
Right.
You know. New Orleans just looked unstoppable against the Patriots. When I said autopilot, I guess autopilot for them is like playing like
40-14.
Yeah, exactly. So I like New Orleans -9.5. And even though I love Jason Campbell as a quarterback, Washington has no O-line, and that defense is pretty good against the pass.
I agree with you. We're on an agreement roll here, but I'm going to lay the points. I just don't think Washington can keep up offensively.
Mm-mm. Yeah, there's no O-line, and we talked about this earlier in the Bengals one. The O-line, if you're building a team, you need, I think, two things to really build around. A good running back and a good O-line. You can piece together. I mean, look at how Belichick built those Patriots team. Like, Troy Brown was their nickel when they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think if you get a special running back and you get a semblance of an offensive line, you're going to be tough to stop.
That's true. I mean, we can have this argument another year. I would argue quarterback would be the first thing to get.
Yeah,
but I mean,
Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's true. But he had a phenomenal defense. But
yeah, you wouldn't want a defense before a line.
Moving, basically, you should get a quarterback, running back, offensive line, and defense, and then
then maybe you can think about wide receiver.
Don't get wide receivers. So moving from one crappy team, Washington, to another, Tampa Bay.
I'm not going to go as far to say Washington's crappy, but
right.
We will move on.
We do that. We say Washington's crappy, but they're okay.
Okay, yeah. I'll deal with that.
So
I can agree.
We're staying in the NFC, going to Tampa Bay at Carolina. Carolina given 6, actually.
I find that ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a lot of points for them.
There's no Jake DeLome in this game. Broken ring finger. Is this actually a good thing for Carolina?
Yeah. I mean, Tampa Bay's run defense has been atrocious. I think they're just going to pound the ball, and they don't have DeLome to give it away.
Mm-hmm. You know, really the perfect quarterback for this offense would be Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton does a fantastic job of handing off the ball.
Yeah, he does. So I think they dominate. Now, here's a question for you about the Buccaneers. We talked about Raheem Morris making a questionable decision.
Mm-hmm.
He's fired both his coordinators already. Did Tampa Bay take this whole, we're going to hire a young, up-and-coming coach thing to our, like, they saw the success of, you know, a Tomlin, a Sean Payton, who was relatively young when he got hired. And it seems like Josh McDaniels also got hired. A lot of teams have been doing the young coaching thing. Tampa Bay firing Gruden and hiring Raheem Morris, who really didn't have the pedigree to be a head coach at this point in his career, did they go a little too far with this, let's get him before he gets another job?
Well, I think it's funny because, you know, they go out and get Morris, and as soon as John Gruden does his first Monday night game, he's in the talks for every coaching job in the NFL.
Right, absolutely.
You know, I don't know, it's kind of hard because it's hard for me to disagree with hiring a young coach,
right?
Because if you do it and it works out, you're a genius. And how else are you going to get that young coach that can build the dynasty? But that being said, I like hiring the old proven coach.
Right. Well, I mean, Raheem Morris was never a defensive coordinator. A guy like Josh McDaniels, a guy like Mike Tomlin had been in charge of an offense or defense. Where I just think they went with a guy who hadn't worked his way up the ladder enough to be ready to be a head coach. I think he can be a good head coach someday, but I don't think it's right now.
Well, and not with this team. The young coach is really good for not a rebuilding team. If I'm rebuilding a team, I'm looking for a veteran guy who knows what he's doing. And the young coach is kind of like, if I have a coach who is retiring from a good team, that's when I like the young up-and-coming guy, not the guy that's, hey, we're throwing you in the deep end of the pool without your waders on.
Right.
Let's see how you fare.
Right. You want the young coach to go on a veteran team that, you know, it might give them a plug of energy, but they know what to do once they're on the field.
Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be, you know, the miscues. I don't trust Tampa Bay's coach. And I love Carolina's running game. And as much as I hate to say it, without Jake DeLome, I'm liking Carolina minus -6.
Ooh, this is going to be a disagreement. I think Carolina probably wins, but I can't give 6 points, Carolina. I will take Tampa Bay plus the 6.
That's fair. Back to the AFC, we've got Houston at Jacksonville. They're both bad teams, but we talked about this on the train right here. I think Jacksonville is a bad 6-5, and Houston's a really bad 5-6.
Yeah, it's a pick'em game. It's just a crap fest for a game that is technically important in the playoff picture. Like, technically, these teams are alive. Here's how I view these teams. I think Houston has no heart, and Jacksonville's just not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no desire to watch these two teams play.
No, you know, Matt Schaub, I think, you know, driving home from last week's game fumbled at some point.
Yeah. And his hair receded a little further.
Yeah. I really don't have anything to talk about. Jacksonville might have the best player in the NFL. One of the maybe 5 best players in the NFL. So I'm going to have to take Jacksonville.
Okay, that's fair. I'm going to take Houston. Flip a coin. I don't know. Call it what you want to call it. I'll take Houston. You take Jacksonville. And one of us will win.
Yeah, it's probably going to be me.
Yeah, probably.
Now we've got San Diego at Cleveland. San Diego's finally playing, maybe, I would say better than what we expected them to play. I mean, we expected them to do pretty well, but I mean, they're playing finally up to the level we expected.
Exactly, and they haven't had those slips this year like they had last year. At this point, no one's really talking about, do you think, is San Diego the sleeper team in the AFC? I mean, I hear nobody talk about them. This is a team that went to the AFC Championship playing poorly last year. And now they're playing a lot better.
It's hard for me to say they're going under the radar or underrated when they're number 4 on ESPN's power rankings. And
yeah.
I think the only reason we don't talk about them is because they're out west.
They're out west, and they're the same team they've been, so I guess everyone knows what they are.
Yeah, everyone knows it's Gates, Jackson, Rivers, and Tomlinson. So, you know, one of the things that I like about San Diego in this game is that where I have said that, you know, Cincinnati's been faltering but playing down to teams, San Diego's been blowing out bad teams. They've been doing a good job of handling their business against teams they should win against.
They have, and I think Cleveland's terrible. You know, this game isn't very interesting, so I'll just get to my pick. I'm laying the points. San Diego minus -13.
I'm going to agree with you, but I'd like to bring up something. I am really proud of Cleveland fans because they consistently still come out to watch this poorly run, horseshit team. You know, if I was a Cleveland Browns fan by now, I probably would have just killed myself.
Yeah.
There's really nothing to look forward to.
Well, and we've talked about their Buckeye fans, so I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
But
you know, the only good things to come out of Cleveland are the Drew Carey Show and
LeBron James?
Jim Brown retiring to be in the Dirty Dozen. That's really the only good things to come out of Cleveland. I gotta agree, San Diego minus -13. I think San Diego's on an offer of a run, and they've been blowing out bad teams. So
they put up a lot of points. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Big game over in the NFC. This is an afternoon game. Dallas at the Giants. Dallas on the road giving 2.5. Strange line, but
yeah. I think once again, as the calendar book turns, it's bad news for Dallas. You know, is this the beginning of the textbook December Dallas skid?
It definitely is going to be, again, interesting to see. I mean, they typically fall apart once the calendar turns. The Giants have been awful the last couple months. I mean, this is a game where what gives, and I don't know. It's going to be, I mean, this is a Giants season.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, Tom Coughlin just looked outcoached in the Denver game.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily for Tom Coughlin, I think the only thing that has ever outmaneuvered Wade Phillips is maybe a diet plan.
Right, yeah. I think he'll be able to manage it. Hopefully it's not too cold in the at the Meadowlands. We don't want him to turn that bright purple that he turned at Lambeau Field.
Just an atrocious human being. You know, I don't want to get into it because we spend enough time bucket dumping on Jay Cutler. Let's not start bucket dumping on Wade Phillips, even though he is a fat douche.
Yes.
You know, this has all the makings for a Giants win. December, Meadowlands, coming off a loss. I don't know. I gotta go with the Giants +2.5.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna agree with you. I'm gonna take the Giants +2.5. I know he's played well a few straight weeks, but I'm not slipping into the Tony Romo trap again.
Or the Miles Austin.
Right. When push comes to shove, Romo's gonna turn the ball over in a big game on the road, Meadowlands, December. You're right. All the recipes say take the Giants here, and I'm going to.
Mm-hmm. Now the next game is another pick'em. This is odd because for 2 weeks in a row we've had two pick'ems.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco at Seattle. I've just got one word for you. Woof.
Yeah, who cares? That is what I have written down that. And then one question about the Seattle team. Is it time for them to blow this thing up and start over? I mean...
Yeah, you know, it's hard because Lufotuiobo or Tuapa, whatever.
That guy.
Yeah, Tufoliuapa, the Samoan linebacker... is injured, and he was a big part of them going to the Super Bowl, a Ted Thompson draft pick.
Yeah.
But really, you have to look at it. Is it time to blow this team up? Didn't they already do that? The only guy left from that Super Bowl team was him and Matt Hasselbeck.
I mean, Matty. Yeah, I mean...
You know, they already kind of started casually rebuilding, and it's one of those things where, well, you know, we're going to start remodeling this part of the house. We're going to start remodeling this part of the house. We're going to start remodeling this part of the house. Well, they started all these projects, and the only thing they've got left is a couch and a recliner in the living room and no house around them.
Or, more suitable to us, a stool and a Tupperware.
In an empty studio apartment.
Right.
I guarantee you all my neighbors can hear us talking, because we're talking at a relatively high level.
Not bad.
It echoes, and I guarantee, I mean, if I had some furniture in here, I think they probably wouldn't hear us.
Maybe they'll become fans of the podcast.
Well, I doubt it. you know, this is just a bad... game. No wonder it's a pick'em.
Right.
You know, San Francisco managed to put up 20 points against Jacksonville. I was surprised with. God, looking at that, I kind of want to go back on this pick. But I have Seattle written down.
All right. Ooh, we disagree. I already wrote that we were going to agree on this one. I like Vernon Davis' big dick swing, and I will take San Francisco.
I have no clue why I wrote Seattle, but I have it written down, and I can't go back on it.
You're not going back?
I mean, technically I could change it once it's on here, but I don't know. I'm going with Seattle.
All right, I'll take the Niners. Let's move on to the Sunday night game. Two games left. Packers yet to come, so stay tuned for that, folks.
Yes, please.
If you've made it this far, you're going to
make
it.
You might as well.
You've got Sunday night Minnesota at Arizona. Vikings on the road, given 4.5. Kurt Warner may play. Sounds like he's going to. What's your take on this one?
I really think this all depends on if Kurt Warner plays. Kurt Warner is not going to play. I like Minnesota minus, you know, 7.5 in this. But if Kurt Warner plays, I think Arizona's got a good enough offense and that Minnesota defense has been spotty enough to actually look at maybe Arizona covering here. Assuming Kurt Warner plays, I don't know. I don't know how much I trust the Minnesota defense against Fitz, Kwan, and Breston.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. I think Minnesota's defense, if they can't... The key with any Kurt Warner offense is, can you get to him? I mean...
Yeah, if you give him time in the pocket.
Right. I mean, Fitz and those guys are going to burn you, and Minnesota's secondary isn't good enough to cover those guys. So, I mean, I think the whole key is, can they get to Warner? And I think they can, as angry as that makes me.
I think so, too. Are we still tentatively waiting for the Brett Favre meltdown, or have we kind of gone...
He's still, sports guy said this on his podcast, he's still 40 years old, and we're still only 12 weeks into a 21-week season.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of time left. And I watched the guy every game for how many years? I know what he is, And I know he's a great quarterback, but I also know he's going to have games where he throws the ball and throws picks. And it's going to happen.
He has
it's
those
going
games.
To happen. And it's not a knock on him. That's what he is.
I mean, you know, one of the things that we love him is always a gunslinger.
Right.
But we would hate when he'd have those gunslinging games where he'd cough the ball up a couple times.
Yeah.
This was a tough game for me to pick because I really don't think Arizona can stop the Minnesota offense.
Yeah. Well, they've been struggling. I had this stat written down. In their last three games, they've been letting up over 6 yards a carry. Which is atrociously bad. I don't think Favre has to do much. I think Peterson and his speeding ticket for going 109 miles an hour will win the game.
But are you taking?
I'm going to lay the points. I'm going to take Minnesota -4.5.
I couldn't agree more. I think Arizona is going to be one of those teams again, just like last year. They don't really impress you, but they get sneaky wins. But I don't think this is one of them. I'm going Minnesota -4, man.
Yeah, I agree. So that takes us to the game of the week, Monday Nighter, Baltimore at game of the week, as always. Baltimore at Green Bay. Love the Packers.
I couldn't agree more. You know, Packers looked really good against Detroit. They're going to have 10 days rest playing a Ravens team that played an overtime game on Sunday night.
Right. Crowd, Monday night, in their favor, at home. Baltimore's last two games were Colts and Steelers, so you know they've been bringing all they have. I mean, just mentally, you get drained.
And, you know, it's one of those things McCarthy said, we talked about this, McCarthy on Scott Van Pelt's show today, SVPZ, you know, we could have scripted that interview. Just every answer was textbook. But, you know, he brought up a good point saying that, you know, this 10 games is perfect at this point in the season. I mean, everybody's banged up. Everybody's got those nagging injuries at this point. And it's just that team that gets that lucky break of 10 days where they can treat it for 10 days.
It's a huge advantage on all the other teams chasing the wild card. I mean, that they're 7-4, they control, you know, they're in control of their spot if they want to be.
And you're exactly where you want to be at a team at this point. You control your own destiny.
Right, you control your own destiny, and now you're rested and ready for that stretch run. Whereas a team like the Eagles and the Falcons, who are playing, we talked about earlier, are beat to shit, and they have a huge game this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that, you know, worries me is the running game. I'm not worried about the passing game at all, because the Ravens' pass defense has been suspect of an enemy this season, but
right.
That run defense has been disgusting, which, I mean, you know, that book's been written every, you know.
Yeah.
It's the same song, just a different CD.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about that. I think the Packers' run game has actually been better, and I think they'll still be decent. But
mm-hmm.
I trust the man of many different facial hairs, Aaron Rodgers, to win the game.
I think to win the game, he needs to go maybe back to the mustache. Nah, I think any facial hair. But
well,
think
he just can't be clean-shaven.
Let's just go back to the mustache, Rodgers. I know he probably listens. Fan of the show.
Big fan.
We love you, A-Rodge.
That's not true.
I'm going to be honest, I'm going to put this as a Mikey, because that's how confident I am, even though I am breaking my cardinal rule of never betting on the Brewers, Bucks, Badgers, or Packers.
Ooh, yes.
But I like to bet with my head, not my heart. But technically, by doing the show and picking Packer games every week, I would then be going against the cardinal rule.
Right, but you're not betting if you don't bet.
I guess. I'm thinking about putting this as a Mikey. I like the Packers -3. I think at home, 10 days rest. Offense has looked unstoppable the last three games.
Right. I agree. I'm going to take the Packers as well. I think defensively, the Packers' run defense has been so good. There's no reason to think, even though Baltimore has a good run offense, I think they can stop Ray Rice and that crew.
Well, and all we have to do is stop Derek Mason and Mark Clayton,
right.
Which is not a problem.
Right.
For Charles Woodson and Jerome.
If you stop that run game, Joe Flacco this year is, after that blow-up early in the season, I mean, I don't trust him.
He looked almost scared at some points during that Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, he did. He didn't look good. And one more quick question for you, just about the Packers playing on Monday night. Do you like Monday night games when the Packers play Monday night, or would you rather have them on Sunday?
It's tough for me because this week, I will tell you this, I like that it's a Monday night game because it gives me an opportunity to go home on Sunday and
right.
move an actual bed and some furniture
right.
into this
right.
and into the cell.
Generally
speaking, I don't mind it. I mean, it's one of those things where I think now that I'm a working man, that I actually am employed, it could be rough because you're staying up till, you know.
Right, yeah.
But, I don't know, I just don't mind it. It's one of those things where I plan my weekend anyway around the time the Packers play this. So if it's a Monday, then I will just plan my Monday.
Yeah, I hate it on Sunday, I miss the game, but then come Monday and you're like the main event, it feels kind of cool.
I will say this, I would prefer a Monday game over a Sunday 3 o'clock game.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not a big fan of the 3 o'clock game. It just feels like with a 3 o'clock game, your entire day is wasted.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get anything done before the 3 o'clock game because you're going to want to watch whatever the prime time. Because they'll put the primetime game on at noon, like the big game on at noon.
Right.
And then, you know, if it's a 7 o'clock Sunday game, you're like, well, I already had my day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to watch Packers football and wind it down.
Yeah. The nooner is the best, but can't always happen. Let's keep this under an hour. Let's wrap her up.
There's no chance of sticking.
Oh, we're doing this. Everyone, thanks for listening. If you have an email for us, feel free to send it to aldavisplusthepoints@gmail.com. So for Al Davis Plus the Points, my name is Brandon Sigloff.
And I'm Jake Wilson, and as always, take Al Davis plus the points.